incentivize businesses to stay here. The child tax credit, as it has been created, mm-hmm. would exclude military families.
What?
Rural families.
What?
Minimum wage earners. And the benefits.
But why punish people who want to go to grad school? Why punish people who like to work?
You've asked the question, why?
Hi everyone, it's Naomi Wolf with Daily Clout, and this is an incredibly exciting day because I'm here with Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here and talking to us. And I'm going to give a little bit of background before I go ahead and ask Representative DeLauro some questions that I know all of you have been burning for me to ask her. And I just want to say, Representative DeLauro is really special in a lot of ways. In one way, she is the Democrat from the 3rd District in Connecticut. She represents New Haven, once my hometown. And she's done that for 27 years. She's returned to office again and again with majorities in the 60s and 70%, you know, above 70%. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I'm very, very excited to join you and Daily Clout.
So let's just get right into it.
Sure.
One of the things that was topmost on your mind and topmost on ours is the tax bill.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me why you think that's critical for us to talk about right now?
Well, because I think it is the central issue at the moment, and it has just unbelievable repercussions in people's lives. And you know, I think we all want to talk about tax reform, mm-hmm. But this is not a tax reform bill.
Why do you really say that?
Well, it's a tax cut bill, and if you take a look at the beneficiaries, which is really pretty startling, about 62% of the tax cuts in the bill are directed toward millionaires, the wealthiest.
Really?
In our country. And let me give you some examples. And then I say, who benefits? That's the real issue in this piece of legislation. And the top end are the beneficiaries. We've just seen, and understand that we are moving from newspaper accounts. We've not seen a bill. We have not seen a bill. That's leaked information. And what this is, so I'm basing my comments on what has been presented in the media. So they lowered the top tax rate, again for the wealthiest, from 39% up to 37%.
Right.
That rebounds to the wealthiest folks. They have doubled the exemption on the state. On the estate tax, that means that you are, if you are an individual, you can have exempted $11 million from your tax liability.
So in other words, it's tax-free.
Tax-free.
$2 million.
Up from individual is $11 right. million, couple, $22
million. Wow, that's amazing.
Tax-free.
For those of you who are struggling to figure out, like, why does this matter, how does this affect me, that's a lot of money that would have gone into our treasury
for schools, hospitals, for a Head Start, for education, for mental health services. All of that is removing revenue that could be used for middle-class families who are struggling.
Right.
You know, the biggest economic problem that people face today is that people are in jobs that don't pay them enough money.
Right.
So they're struggling to pay their bills. They don't take vacations. People are struggling to send their kids to school because they can't afford colleges. So this is money that's just sucked out of the system.
Right. So let me restate what I think your first objection to it is that it's you feel that it unfairly or disproportionately benefits the wealthiest people.
Right.
Well, so devil's advocate,
sure.
What the other side of the people who are in favor of this would say is that working class people, they claim, get a savings up front through the raised personal
standard deduction.
That deduction.
They will raise a standard deduction, but what they will do by raising that standard deduction, they then disallow the personal exemptions, which
right.
people have been allowed to take.
So, let me, yeah.
so you, if you, they,
so it's like
they,
giving with one hand
and they take
with
away
another.
With another. And
right.
the exemption of the personal the taking away of the personal exemptions winds up being more. It's about $16,000 versus what you will get in terms of the standard deduction, which is about $12,000. So you're shorted around $4,000.
If you make about, if you're middle class.
That's right.
Critics would say it's kind of sleight of hand, that it appears
it sounds good up front.
But then you lose in kind of sneaky ways that you're not aware of. So you've just mentioned one way in which middle class people lose. I want to call attention to another way and ask you your thoughts about this. One of the things that was really shocking to me, I'm self-employed, and a lot of creative people I know are self-employed in New York, and they really need their deductions in order to make a living. I mean, if you're a self-employed writer, things like, you know, your computer, you know, can be deductible. The part of the house where you do your writing can be deductible. Right. These aren't like giant cheaty things. They're actually how entrepreneurs and small business people, you know, manage to kind of scrape by. And I was very struck. And it really seemed to kind of target self-employed people and target small businesses and protect corporations. What would you say to that? Am I misreading?
No, you've not misread that at all. You have business expenses, which you no longer are going to be allowed to deduct, whereas the largest corporations will continue to be allowed the deduction.
How is that? So let me ask you this strategically, which I don't get. Republicans are supposed to be the party of business and capitalism, right? They're always saying that Democrats are big government and that Republicans support entrepreneurs, small business people. When I actually read the bill, it almost seemed to be designed to disempower small business people and protect corporations.
It is because the emphasis is really not small businesses, though they will give lip services to small business, talk about them as the engine of growth and all of this wonderful language. In reality, it is about big business. It is about corporations, multinational corporations, who are going to get the some of the biggest benefits from this bill, so that small businesses and middle-class families should not be fooled by the language. With regard to the corporations and multinational corporations, one of the biggest issues is that we have seen over the years, and I'm sure you've heard from people whose jobs have been outsourced.
Yes, yes.
So
that was the initial objection to NAFTA back in the Clinton years.
That's right.
And it turned out to be true.
It's true.
Right.
You know, almost a million jobs lost
through
NAFTA. And with this bill, what we're going to allow, to continue to allow, not only those who have already outsourced their jobs, and they will be allowed to take back some of the money that they have parked overseas at a much lower tax rate, thereby losing more revenue. And also, we're going to make it easier for new businesses. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you the example.
New businesses to do what?
To do what? This is what, if I want to set up a business, if you want to set up a business, and I want to do this in New Haven, Connecticut, I have to pay taxes
on
that. Right. If I take that business and set it up in Mexico, I pay a lot less in taxes.
Oh my gosh.
That is a reality.
No one's ever explained that to me.
It's as simple as that.
Oh my gosh, that's shocking.
And so not only are you taking, that means whether the business goes, the jobs go, and the revenue goes, and the people can park their money overseas and not pay taxes on that money.
I mean, that incentivizes people further to move jobs
overseas.
Overseas.
And so many people, as I said, the struggle is about jobs.
Absolutely.
People who have lost a job and they get rehired don't get the same salaries they were getting.
Right.
They may lose their job, their wages go down. And how does
that? Bad jobs, service jobs, part-time jobs, no benefits.
Exactly, and no benefits. So what we are doing, we do have a tax code. Let's incentivize businesses to stay here. The president just talked about how they are going to invest, how they're going to create jobs. When they were asked, you're going to create jobs, they were silent.
Right.
Because what they are going to do is to take care of their shareholders.
Right, right.
They're going to buy back stock.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that are going to be done.
Yeah.
And it's not going to trickle down.
Yeah.
It will not trickle down, and there will be de minimis in terms of job growth.
Can I ask you something? It's occurring to me that the idea of, taking big profits to reinvest in jobs is basically language from an economy that we no longer have in the United States, right? Like, we don't have manufacturing in the same way. We don't have an industrial base in the same way. Those jobs are in Mexico and in China now. So, you know, there's service jobs now in our country. So really, how could people, I mean, what would it look like for this job, for this bill to work the way Republicans are saying?
But what you can do is, first of all, you can decrease the tax load on middle class families.
Right. And then that does what? Which is good for the economy.
Which is what they will spend the money. They are not buying stock. They are, you know, not taking care of shareholders. They're taking care of kids.
Right.
And what they are trying to do is to survive, you know, week to week.
Right.
And so that if you provide them with tax relief, if you allow them to take the deductions,
right,
if you have a child tax credit.
Right.
Now, there is a child tax credit in this bill. However, this is very, very interesting. The child tax credit, as it has been created,
mm-hmm,
would exclude military families.
What?
Rural families.
What?
Minimum wage earners. Families who have large numbers of children. And families who have young children. Why?
Why?
The question is why.
Right.
Because they set the income levels,
uh-huh,
at which you can participate at a range in which low-income families cannot take advantage
of it. So this is like for those dual-income, affluent,
that's
professional,
right,
we go one
step
further
to take advantage
and help pay their needs.
Right.
But working families,
can't
military
make,
families are going to be struggling.
That's right. Now,
it's
the other piece of this.
But I don't, Congressman, I don't get it. It's like, I read this bill, and let me just give some examples.
Sure.
You lose gift cards. You lose deductions for riding your bike to work. You lose, if your employer wants to give you lunch, that can no longer be deducted. You know, but luxury cars are protected. You know, the construction industry is protected. Planes are protected. I was reading this bill, and I was literally thinking, you could not craft a more unpopular bill. It, like, penalizes people for the few perks they have left in the middle class and the working class. So let me ask you, as a politician, how could anyone, why, like the bits of money that are going to be saved by making people not, mm-hmm, able to deduct their graduate school income, graduate students are being, they are being taxed on scholarships, that's money they never see. So if someone works hard, studies hard, wins a scholarship, never sees the money, it just deducts the amount they have to pay tuition. They have to scramble to come up with the money somehow to pay it.
They're going to have to pay if you have $30,000 in a stipend, and then you got a waiver of $40,000 on your tuition. You are now going to have to pay on $70,000.
Oh my gosh! So let me ask you this: some of these things just seem so mean-spirited and so punitive, but also like really bad politics.
Bad politics.
Like why? What can explain
some of these
things?
Well, they're hoping that they can get away with it.
But what good does it do to take away people's deductions for gift cards and graduate school? It doesn't do any good. It just makes a party unpopular. It gives people like you a talking point. Why did they do it like that?
Well, because they figure that they're going to jam it through, get it through, and the benefits.
But why punish people who want to go to grad school? Why punish people who
like
to work?
You've asked the question. Why? And because it's about a way to give. The goal is to make sure that they are taking care of the wealthiest people, the millionaires, the billionaires, their donors.
Right.
They're donors,
right,
who have said, if you do not do a tax bill, you should not count on us any longer.
Right.
The one piece,
right,
on the child tax credit, which is very interesting,
yes,
is they raise the upper level. They raise the upper level,
yes,
and quite frankly, members of Congress could take advantage.
I believe it.
Of that, rather than low income families.
Well, let me add another example. The bill I read, I couldn't believe this. It takes away the benefit you used to get if you were an employer to hire disabled veterans. I mean, like, and so again, I keep thinking, why burn this?
Yeah.
Why burn this political
capital? Right.
Why? Like, who wants to stand behind that bill in 2018 and answer someone saying, my dad's a veteran, you know, he's disabled. You took away the incentive his employer had to hire him. I mean, I know I'm asking the same question to you over and over, but
they figure they're going to get away with it because they will have the wherewithal from their donor class to be able to provide them with the wherewithal.
I think
the public is not going to be fooled.
They're not low up there, yeah. The numbers show it's,
yeah,
very unpopular.
You know, there was
Republicans
one tax credit they'd taken away, and that's for blind people.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
So let me try again. I mean, I'm asking a bunch of questions, but I guess I'm just so, like, I'm so used to politics having an end game, even if it's not the end game I agree with, right? And I guess what I'm wondering is, so when I looked at this bill as a whole, it really seemed to me like a giant piece of social engineering to heighten the divide between the wealthy and everyone else, to gut entrepreneurs and small business people, to make the rich kids the only ones who can afford to go to graduate school, law school, you know, medical school, to really create a kind of fortress society in which there was no competition, no challenge, no social mobility to the elite. Am I overreading that? Like,
no,
otherwise, I don't get
really,
this bill.
You're actually not overreading it at all. But there is such pressure for the majority to pass something.
Right.
They were unable legislatively
right.
to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
That when the president made a lot of promises, and none of those promises have really been kept. They're being viewed as having failed in what they said that they were going to accomplish in their first year.
Right.
It just hasn't happened. So that they have moved on this tax proposal, which they've cobbled together, and they've cobbled it together to satisfy their very, very wealthy and donors. In addition to that, they have been trying to trade pieces with Republican members to say, if you like this, we'll put it in if you'll give us your vote.
Right.
You may not like that, but what can we do for you?
I think
because they're under the gun to pass a piece of legislation. And these are not my words. This is probably one of the worst pieces of legislation we have ever seen.
It's extraordinary.
In the U.S. Congress.
Well, those are strong words, and you would know. You've been doing this for 27 years.
It really isn't what we do. In 1986, when we passed tax reform, it was a bipartisan effort. This has not been a bipartisan effort. The Democrats have not been included in any of these
discussions. But neither have the people.
It has been secretive. I just want to just say is because this creates a $1.5 trillion deficit.
Thank you.
If it's 1.5 trillion, and it's already been stated in the press,
right.
What is going to happen is that the majority is going to come back and say, we have to make up the deficit. Where
right.
are we going for
we're
the
gonna
deficit?
We're going to raise taxes
on
the middle class.
We're going to go to Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to Medicare.
That's right.
We are going to education.
Oh, my gosh.
We are going to food stamps. We are going to social services. The social safety net, there will be a massive assault on the social safety net as a result of this bill.
Extraordinary. Well, I hope you're all listening, and that leads to my last question, because we've got these mobilized millions of people out there who care,
yes.
and who care about you, talking to them and explaining it, and now they want to know, they want me to say to you, Congresswoman DeLauro, what can they do? What can they do to raise their voice? What can they do to help you, or help pass it? I mean, we're a nonpartisan platform. How can people best affect the outcome, and how can people best pressure all of you guys in this building to restore the process so that the people can see these bills and have a say about them? What would you say?
Well, I would just say is it has to be what people did with regard to the Affordable Care Act.
What was that?
And that folks wrote, they called, they marched, they protested. They went to visit their members of Congress and told them, this is unacceptable. We need you to vote against this kind of legislation. You know, there is so much at stake. And people should understand and know about what happens in the Congress. We are only here because the American people put us here in our various communities. You have every right, you have every obligation, in my view, to be in touch with us, to tell us what you are thinking, to let us know the struggle that you and your family are facing, and what is it that we can do as your elected representative to help to make your life better.
Wonderful. Representative DeLauro, Congresswoman, what an honor, what a treat, and thank you so much for explaining this to us. And I know many people are cheering for you.
Thank you
so much.